The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is outlandish, Zicky Dice, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
I love the big package.
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuning in live for episode 475 of The Shining Wizards, where of course it's wrestling talk, and talk about wrestling. I'm Tony, I'm riding solo for just a minute or two. I told Kevin to give me a chance just to get the intro going. I didn't want him to have to wait, because he's getting his personal studio set up. As you know, we are under quarantine, we are doing the Skype-sy for the foreseeable future, and I'm stuttering already and stammering. But Kevin is getting ready to join me, and we got a little bit to cover. First of all, thanks for tuning in on The Rant, rantiumradio.com. We are members. We are the founding fathers of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. And don't forget, I don't know if we're going to have a chance to play the commercials tonight, but I'd like to give a shout-out to all the shows that are on the Shining Wizards Network, including the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, Choppy, and that... The nice guy, Jay. He's not a pain in the ass. Of course, Inconclusive Breakdown, Radioactive Metal, who just celebrated their 600th episode, the High Spot Podcast, bringing you guys content with the quarantine right up the road from us in Jersey. Natty Bumper Car down the road in Jersey with the Bumper Podcast. And wherever KP Burke and his dad decide to join, it's the American Loser Podcast. But joining me is no loser. He is, well, he's sort of a winner. It's Mr. Kevin Garifo. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man?
Go ahead, man.
Why is this weird?
Because you're weird and you're taking snapshots. Why are you taking pictures of your tablecloth, dude?
I have no idea.
You know, I'm going to see. Did I turn the camera on? Oh, I do have the camera on. Can you see?
Yeah, but it's like showing like outside and not me, which is weird. How do I reverse that?
Dude, you should have a little button. You have an iPhone, right? There should be a button in the bottom right corner that like allows you to flip ski the camera ski. It's got like a little camera with a couple of swishy, swishy arrows around it. Maybe. Kinda. I guess. I think that works.
Off.
No. Nope. Didn't work yet.
This is freaking me out, man. Hold on.
There's got to be a little option, right? I mean.
Maybe there you go. There I am.
Can you see me?
No, I don't.
Oh, for real? Oh, I might have my camera disabled. Let me get my camera on. How about now?
I see the wizard. Oh, there you are.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? How are you?
Man, it's another day in paradise, baby.
Yeah, it's really not paradise, but what are we going to do?
Listen, you gotta embellish a little bit for the people.
Oh, it's fucking great, dude. It's like we're on a tropical island somewhere, sipping margaritas and pina coladas and all that jazz.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
How's the mean streets of West Orange treating you these days?
Barren.
Really?
Like Von Raschke.
Oh, is the atmosphere just choking everyone, or is that a bad...
Well, you know what? Today was different because like the weather was so gorgeous that it almost kind of gives you that false sense of security that everything's okay. Whereas like when the weather is really, really terrible, like you just know that it's just bad news bears.
Yeah.
So like today was decent. I actually spent a majority of my time... And this is going to be very exciting.
Oh, do tell.
My dad was mowing the lawn, and the gas cap from the lawnmower got misplaced. So I'm like super bored, super detective mode. I spent the entire day looking for this lawnmower gas cap.
And you couldn't find it?
Because it got displaced during his lawn mowing excursions.
Weren't able to find it?
No. Oh, I'm not a good cop. I'm a terrible detective. I couldn't find it. I think I know where it is, but we'll wait till tomorrow because we got some wrestling talk to do, buddy.
Yeah, we have a bit to talk about. A couple of exciting shows this weekend. WrestleMania 36 making history. No audience. Two nights. The Gronk. I mean, come on.
Darren Von Gronksky.
Yeah.
Tony, actually, let me ask you, though, because you asked me, how are you doing? Let's get that out of the way first. Not get it out of the way, but let's legit. How are you? How's the fam? How's the kids?
Everybody in my nucleus right here is doing A-OK. Like, you know, the kid is still doing the homeschoolings and all that nonsense. The wife, you know, unfortunately, is still going to work a couple days a week, but she's taking extra precautions. So that's cool. I've been blessed with being able to work from home for the past year, so it really hasn't affected me much. You know, the kid and I have been taking some walks when we can. We should have went out today, but he got bombarded with some homework because guess what, Kevin? Despite being home from school, they still have their Easter break coming up starting Wednesday. So he's going to be home for about 11 days with absolutely no schoolwork to do. So it's going to be even fucking weirder.
Oh, you're going to have a great time.
I'm really not because I'm still working, you know? I still got to put my time in.
Nah, forget about it. It's Easter.
I wake up.
Hide some eggs around the studio. Melt some peeps on the couch.
I'll hide them in my hiney. I'll invite all the neighborhood kids over.
I wouldn't say that again, dude.
What you drinking? What you got there, a little bubbly?
A little silver bullet.
Oh, Christ, look at you.
I did have the bubbly, though. I opened it. Did I tell you that?
No, for real? I meant like the seltzer drink bubbly. I didn't realize you cracked into the Jericho stuff. What'd you think?
I did. I had it. It was, dude, I've been home. This is going to be my third week not at work with like going absolutely out of my mind, watching wrestling like every day. And then like, you want to try to minimize how often you go out. So like I had like maybe like a beer left and I was like, you know what? I don't want to go to bed. My sleeping pattern is all screwed up. So I'm like, all right, let's see if I have anything. And I'm like, I got the bubbly. So I popped it open and I drank it.
What'd you think?
As I chew my cough drop here, I liked it, but I'm kind of a cheapskate because I mixed it with a little bit of OJ.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of the mimosally, you can say.
And what time were you partaking in this?
Oh God, it was probably around like 8, 9 o'clock.
Oh, at night though.
Yeah.
No, because
give me some credit, Tony.
No. If you're making mimosas, I would think like you'd want to have a little bit of like maybe like a poached egg and some like English muffin to go along with it. You know, a little fancy it up because you're a gentleman of a discerning taste.
That's a good point.
See, I was looking out for you. Right away, yeah. You threw me under the bus.
No, I was just like I was bored and like I said, it's just really getting hard to keep yourself sane at this point.
Was the label talking to you? Was Jericho going like, Kevin, try a little bit of the bubbly?
It was funny. I dragged two sips of it, and then all of a sudden, I was hallucinating, and I heard the entire audience singing Judas, like he was coming to the ring. So, is there a better theme song in wrestling than Chris Jericho's Judas?
I would say yes, but it's
you're gonna have to take a minute to think about it.
Well, I mean, I can name a bunch of them, but is there a more fun theme in wrestling right now? No, definitely not.
You're telling me right now that there's a better theme song. I cracked there. You're telling me there's a better theme song in pro wrestling, and this is corporate Kevin talking. There's a better theme song in wrestling right now than Judas?
Oh, no. I said right now there's not a better, more fun theme song, probably. I mean, if I thought about it, look, you want to get into WrestleMania, that Fatal 5-Way when Lacey Evans' music hit again? I forgot how much fun I was having with that song. But, dude, You know who's
boy? Have you turned on that?
You know, tell me about it, right? Like, I fucking hated everything about her. I'm kind of glad she lost too, by the way, because I was like, fuck that. But
yeah, but who was saying it from day one? Day one ish. Who had Lacey Evans back?
You this did. Guy. Yeah, of course you did, because you're a fucking bandwagon jumper. That's all.
From day one? How could you be a bandwagon guy from day one?
She's got a pretty
it's
big
day
bandwagon.
One. There's nothing before day one.
She's got a bandwagon to jump on, dude. She got a big old shit locker. The camera made sure it got nice and in there when she was climbing through the ropes during the middle of the match.
A lot of bandwagons in that match.
Oh, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. There's an interesting meme going around which really cracked me up because you know I love me the memes and the puns and all that stuff. It was a photo of Rhea Ripley and Ric Flair Jr. from their match. And somebody actually, the meme was, I had to lower my TV because I didn't want my neighbors to think I was watching porn. It was an awful lot of screaming in that match, dude. An awful lot.
I saw that meme.
It was like watching like a women's tennis match from the 70s. A whole lot of grunting and yelling and screaming.
Little Steffi Graf.
Yeah, I was thinking a little more the Williams sisters, too. Wasn't one of them a screamer as well?
Oh, yeah. Big-time screamer.
Yeah, but, dude, Steffi
Graf.
The
better one. Whoever the better one was. Serena, I think, is the better one, right?
Yeah. Yes. No, she is. She's got more allocades, as Lex Luger would say.
Accolades.
There allocades. Come on, dude. Steffi Graf, she was the real young one. She was a brunette, and she's the one that got stabbed, wasn't she? Or was that Monica Seles? One of them got...
That was Monica Seles.
Okay, but Steffi Graf, I think, did the commercials for Dove soap, and she's like, it makes my skin all smoothie. And that's all I remember from Steffi Graf.
I'm way out of my comfort zone. I just named the first female tennis player that I could think of. And that was Steffi Graf for some reason.
You know, it was really disappointing. I was listening to our brothers over at Inconclusive Breakdown this morning, and one of the three hosts was born, Kevin, he was born in 1996. 90s. Did I lose you? I see you and I can't hear you now. Did you
I'm taking screenshots.
Oh, okay, cool. Should I pose? Like, do I need to, like, you know, anything like that? Kevin's fucking around too much, I swear. Oh, I swear, Kevin's fucking around too much. Boop, boop! Kevin is unavailable. Give me a call back. I'm just going to change this. I'm going to put you, douche. There you go. Oh, boy. So now I get to talk to myself. So, yeah. One of the fellas from Inconclusive Breakdown was born in 1996. That was the year that I graduated from college. How fucking old do I feel? Kev, you got to stop fucking with your technology, buddy. What are you doing?
Yeah, so now we know what not to do when recording a podcast via Skype. Do not try to take screenshots of yourself and your co-host while this happens.
I don't know why, but for some reason, my son's iPad is asking me if I want to connect to it from downstairs, and I really don't want to do that. Technology,
why?
Man, it's fun. You really want him to sit in and listen to us talk about fucking Lacey Evans' shit locker? I mean, it's up
can
to
he
you.
Do that? Are we on Zoom?
No. We're on Skype, but I look, Apple devices love to talk to each other. Every time I get on my laptop, it's like, do you want to connect to your Apple TV? Do you want to connect to your phone? Do you like it wants to connect to everything that's near it, you know? I don't know if you ever use AirDrop. It's a great piece of technology, by the way. Like, if you want to send, if you want to send a picture to someone, you know, you go to your pictures, you click on one, it gives you the options. Like, do you want to email it? Do you want to send it as a message? You have messages that are open. Do you want to attach it to one? Or AirDrop. And all AirDrop is, it finds devices that are near you, and it'll just go like, whoop, and just send the shit right to that other device. You don't need to send a message. You don't need to send a text. Nothing. It just forwards it right along. It's so awesome.
Sounds like a ride at like Coney Island or Action Park that got shut down.
Like a vroom.
People died. AirDrop.
I was thinking about the other night. I was watching Jackass 3. And do you remember the Tarzan swing at I Like the Shirt? Action. I Like the Shirt, you fucking Major Mark.
Yeah, baby.
Speaking of which, if you want to get into it, some happenings in the tournament. I won't say who.
Hold on. Can we dial back? Because I've been thinking about this, and I'm going to forget about it until we dial back to the music part.
Wait, let me dial it back. Okay, there you go. All right, go ahead.
So if you had to pick between one, Chris Jericho or Cody Rhodes' theme song, who would you take?
Wait, Cody's theme song now or the whoa, here comes Cody Rhodes?
That's a better question.
Well, that's Curt Hawkins' theme song, right?
What?
That's Curt's theme song, the Smoke and Mirrors, right?
No, that's Curt Hennings. I mean, not Curt Hennings. Cody Rhodes.
That was Cody's theme song?
Yeah. Whoa, there's only smoke and mirrors. Whoa, it's only smoke and mirrors tonight.
All righty. Kevin's singing. I like it. I like it a lot.
Weird, dude. I'm just excited. I'm jonesing.
Oh, that was so that was where I was going. The Lacey Evans theme song, but who fucking really has a fun theme song? And I got up and I actually started dancing is Naomi's theme song.
Naomi's is good.
It's fucking great, dude. It is such a with the doom doom brr, da, 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 and then the fucking lights go off and she's glowing and shit. Awesome.
She and WWE, I don't know if it's because Jim Johnson left, I don't know. Or if it's because they stopped using like real artists for a lot of them. But if you look at the guys on like 205 Live and NXT, and I know you guys don't really watch those shows religiously, and neither do I, to be honest. But there's guys that like should have way more exciting musics that just really don't. There's like a lot of weird bass and not enough like melody to these theme songs. Like DJ Z, Joakim Wild is supposed to be like this really high intense, like, I don't know, DJ, electronica DJ, and his music is just all bass. Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, like all these guys is just so much like they're gonna have a hard enough time getting over just being themselves, and they're saddling them with like the first music they hear in like the WCW TBS library. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we have that commercial. We have that music. It's gonna be on like a True TV Geico commercial next, so we'll just put that. Like the Hardcore Holly music was in every single commercial that I ever heard in my life,
and they used to use that, and they used to use somebody else's music,
the Hardys
on ESPN. They used to use it all the time as well. There's a great example. I have to fucking YouTube it right now for great music. And if you're an old school Coliseum video collector, used to watch those videos back in the day.
Oh yeah.
You'll recognize this one easily. I have to find it. It's it was actually from NFL Films, which I had no idea until it came up.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, but not no, that's was that is that that's NFL Films or is that somebody else's?
No, it's
theme?
It's NFL on CBS or something,
or ABC? Was it Monday Night Football's theme? It was somebody's theme, the one you're singing.
Bum, 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 bum.
It was Lawrence Taylor's, wasn't it?
Oh, he used that. Yeah, well, he used it when he came out for WrestleMania 11. Oh, by the way, I did research. WrestleMania 12 was Ultimate Warrior and Triple H, by the way. We talked about it last week. We were trying to figure out when Mark Mero and Sable appeared. That was when Sable first appeared. And that was when Mark Mero made his debut in the backstage segment. That was all WrestleMania 12. So
gotcha.
I remember that. Let me see if I can pull this up without getting a commercial. Yeah, okay, here it is. I know it's a little loud. Recognize this? This is the beginning music on all the Coliseum videos when they would show like it began 5,000 years ago or the gladiators would wrestle and shit like that.
Tony, I rented a lot of wrestling videos from Blockbuster and Palmer and Hollywood and RKO Video. I can't remember that song at all.
Wait, Randy Orton used to rent videos? What are you talking about?
Dude, there was a video place up at, you're familiar with West Orange.
Of course, Essex Green. Mean Streets, of course.
Essex Green, there was a video store on the backside called RKO Video.
Yeah, yeah, RKO was like a big franchise.
I don't know.
Well, at least in this area they were anyway.
But it was, like, that's where you would go for wrestling tapes. Palmer Video had a decent little selection. Blockbuster sucked. But RKO was the place to go for like fresh off the gate. Like as soon as the pay-per-view was done, like 8 months, 9 months later, which was pretty quick back then.
Yeah.
There, boom, they had it immediately. And then sometimes you accidentally walk behind the section that had the beads.
You had beads? We used to have cowboy doors at our video stores.
Oh, we had beads.
Beads?
It was like the 70s, like not Big Lebowski. What's the movie?
I know what
with
you mean. Like
porn.
Like anybody who's got like an Italian grandmother or a grandmother from Europe would probably have them hanging up in her house. The beads in the doorway instead of a door,
so we had the
you walk through the beads.
Beads. And there was actually a place in the Valley called the Valley Sweet Shop, which actually also had wrestling tapes.
And they rented videos too. Wow.
Yeah.
See, you're lucky. My sweet shop, they didn't even have a soda jerk anymore. You used to just have to buy like a can of soda. Like, but they had all the old equipment. Like you could get milkshakes and stuff like that. But that
was beautiful.
But that was from a long time gone. Like when I used to go there, they never even used that stuff. It was probably just sitting there fucking frozen in time.
And Tony, I'm going to tell you about a little time in my life where I was a criminal.
Ooh, what'd you steal?
They used to have these 5-cent pieces of gum.
Oh, shit. Bazookas?
Not bazooka. Yes, they were bazookas. Actually, they may have been bazookas. But they had in, like, wrapped in them was, like, a little, I guess the only thing you could say is, like, an 8x10, but the size of the little piece of gum of a wrestler.
Whoa. What brand of gum was this?
I thought it was Bazooka, but Bazooka had the comic, right?
Yeah, Bazooka always had the comics with Bazooka Joe.
There was another one. I can't remember it, but I guarantee you, if I go in my garage, I probably still have a couple of them there. You would open the pack of gum, and there would be an 8x10 of the wrestler. So what I would do is I would buy stuff. I'd buy like a slush puppy. I'd buy, a magazine. But then at the end, there would be these little tiny pieces of gum, 5 cents each, like right next to like, the Airheads or like the Sour Patch Kids or the really sour like candies, and there'd be 5 cents, and I would take like one or two every time I would go, and I went there like religiously once a week, so I would just have a stack of these 8x10 little bubblegum wrestling photos, and I can't for the life of me remember what that gum was.
Well,
it's killing me.
Knowing what you have in your basement, I would not be surprised if you still had them out in the garage somewhere, because you got a fucking fine collection of all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you got to see the garage, bro.
I could imagine.
VHS tapes. I have countless VHS tapes from Royal Rumbles, from SummerSlams, from God, stuff that, like, I didn't even have those because I didn't know how to record pay-per-views, so someone gave them to me at some point.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. And sometimes these video releases are really interesting because you got a lot of bonus content. And if you play your cards right, you get them in like completely unedited form. I'll give you an example. I've got WrestleMania in a clamshell with like the marquee on the back where it's all like in like the cool like neon writing and stuff.
Clamshell is the plastic.
The plastic one. Yeah. Like typically like what you would see in like a Disney movie come in. But
gotcha,
it was a black clamshell.
Gotcha.
I also have the WrestleMania collection that goes from 1 to 13 on VHS. And those are completely unedited. It's got Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's got It's got Another One Bites the Dust. It's got it wasn't Real American. I think it was Eye of the Tiger Hogan came out too. So it's got like all the original music. Whereas the clamshell version, which was the official first release from Coliseum Video, it was all edited out. Like they had some like first of all, when Junkyard Dog came out, he didn't even have music. They kind of spliced it up. But like when Wendy Richter came out and when Hulk Hogan came out, they had this generic music like that was piped in over it. And it was really bad, dude. Like at least now at WWF, when they take stuff out, they try to make it match up. They'll take Fink out and put him back over the top. But with this, dude, it was just.
You've noticed that too, right? How Fink is so blatantly, it's like you're watching like a video game.
Yeah, well, they used to do that. I don't know if the audio's gotten better. It's either one, not it's much less noticeable, or they've just found a way to just take it and overlay it completely by doing something with the audio. That's way beyond my pay scale to figure out, though. But yeah, for a long time, it did sound like Howard Finkel was in post doing it, like you would hear like the 2K video games.
And it seems like that. Every time I go back and watch, that's all I've been doing is watching stuff on the network. And you could just tell in the Royal Rumble, like you could just tell that Finkel's voice is definitely dubbed in.
Yeah.
Like literally probably from, it can't be from the video game, but it sounds just like it. And we'll go down this rabbit hole real too. I know we have a lot to get to in terms of WrestleMania and this and that and the state of the wrestling world that we are in for those listening. And for those listening, follow us at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, at Wizards Podcast on Instagram, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards on Facebook, Facebook.com/ShiningWizards. What's the most egregious cover-up song other than the Sandman, because that's the go-to.
See, like, that was when you first said that, I'm like, it's got to be Sandman. And you're like, well.
Because everyone knows that's, like, the most egregious one ever.
Okay.
And there might not be another answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
there might not be one.
There is. When the gangsters wrestle, they put in some sort of, like, hip-hop where it sounds almost like it would either be... It sounds like a mix of, like, Public Enemy and Too
Public
Cool.
Enemy and WCW did that too. For WCW shows, they have that, too.
Yeah, but you know the music, though, because it's, like, that weird kind of hip-hop, but it's also got lyrics, because they try to make it like somebody singing over the... Like, to give you that authentic feel, which is just dog shit. I'll tell you what, though. They did a good job... when they did Tommy Dreamer's Man in a Box, when he came to WWE, that's a great fucking cover. There was that one. And WCW also did a great job with Smells Like Teen Spirit for DDP. That's a great cover as well.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. DDP never had like that. Oh, okay, never mind. I see what you're saying.
The one in
DDP's
WCW.
DDP's original music was great. The cover-up is okay.
For DDP, you mean?
For DDP, which... Ooh, I might have to take you to task for that.
You know who had a really good one that we're talking back in the 80s? I guess they had to give up using it because of rights. The Midnight Express was using that remix of Giorgio Moroder's, whatchamacallit? The Chase from Midnight Express.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whoa, all right. Now I got to pull this up, so you got to give me 1 minute. You really don't
Do you
know?
Have the, how's the soundboard working? I heard you guys, I saw you guys were talking about the soundboard maybe not working?
No.
Do we even want to talk about that? We shouldn't talk about that. That was stupid.
No, we can. It's just that when I was starting the show last week, everything would just kind of had disappeared. So I had to just take all the sounds and just dump them back and put them into place and whatnot. It's not like I lost the sound bites. I lost the map on the soundboard software, if that makes sense. So the files were still there.
It actually does, believe.
The files were still there. The buttons to make the noises go wasn't. They weren't. Gotcha. So I had to put them all back. So, all right. So this was, let me see if this is it. All right. So this is the Midnight Express's, like, this was their original theme. This is an actual song called The Chase.
This is the real deal.
This is the real deal. I mean, it sounds familiar, right? Kevin's grooving a little bit. He's liking it. You're digging it, right? Now imagine Sweet Stan and Beautiful Bobby coming to the ring with James E. Cornette, like, and they're walking to this music. This is good shit, right?
You know what's so sad about this?
What, the song, or?
No. About the fact that I don't know the Midnight Express's theme music.
You've never heard this with the drums in the background now?
And the odds are that I probably have. I most definitely have.
And that's got that...
It just doesn't resonate with me, and I think that's more of a compliment than an insult, because they were more... charismatic and more eye-catching.
Yeah, but their music was iconic.
Focal point than the music.
This music is iconic.
I don't. I'm sorry. I'm gonna
here,
get
I'm trying,
a lot of heat for
this. I'm trying to get you to the part that
it.
Kicks in. This doesn't ring a bell at all.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that was that.
But that again, was, I'm not. I don't think that's a bad thing.
So that was that version. Let me get you the cover. Let me see.
Yeah, let's do it.
You could hear it, right? It's a little different.
Oh God!
It's almost like the Muzak version, right?
It sounds like MJF's theme.
But listen, but now when the organs and everything kick in and the piano kicks in, it does sound a bit like it. You got the little charm, like the chimes, like the ding. It's coming.
This is more synthetic.
People, I love it. Kevin is rocking out on his porch. This is fucking great.
I like this one.
Yeah, not bad, right?
This isn't bad at all.
Well, that's the difference between the Midnight Express themes. I actually dug the original, but I really do like the cover version of it.
You want to have your mind blown?
Oh shit!
Watch any pay per view on a WWE network with the Godwins.
Oh God, what music do they use?
It's completely generic.
Wait, is it that? Okay, so it's the music they used for Hillbilly Jim at WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
The like the bugga 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 bugga, like fucking real banjos and shit. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's then like even for Henry Godwin, they don't even use like his what's the fiddle? They don't do like the ring. It's just like it's like Porky Pig playing like country music.
When Henry Godwin was a heel, didn't he use something that sounded almost like Deliverance? Like it was like real creepy, like slow violins.
No, that was Sid started with like that kind of stuff. And I think Will and Mercy may have had something like that too. but Henry Godwin, I think, was always like, I have to YouTube it. Hold on.
I don't know why. I'm so fucking gassy all of a sudden. Please don't do anything that's going to get you disconnected.
Nah, I have the iPad here, but I'm at like 20% on it. So we'll see.
Hey, before we get into WrestleMania, can I spend 5 minutes covering Fusion this week?
Tony, listen. This is your world, bro. This is your world. So much happened this weekend that I don't even know where to begin. So if you have a starting point and you want to start with MLW, loser leaves the company match.
I'm glad.
That's all you, brother.
I'm glad you agreed with me to take it this direction.
You got me?
I've been poo-pooing a bit on the MLW as of late. Well, I can't poo-poo on this episode because it was really good. It was really well done. Only two matches for this episode. We got a great match with Septimo Dragon and Douglas James, which actually was really like well contested. And Douglas James came up with the guillotine finish for the submission. But it was really cool. There weren't any mistakes. These guys like really worked well together. Even Septimo Dragon, you would like, look, Douglas James comes out. He's got his fucking awesome music. And it's like, all right, Douglas James is going to win. But for a while, it really felt like an even contest. And Septimo Dragon was like, you know, move for move with him. Great fucking match. The other match we'll get into in
and
a
now,
minute.
Septimo Dragon is Shinron, right?
No. Shinron is, oh, God. I can't think of who he fucking is, but
That's fine. All of our MLW friends are going to kill us tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
Maybe it was Septimo. No, it's not Septimo Dragon. I forget. Now I gotta look it up.
Is Septimo Dragon, he has a mask, right?
Yes.
Black guy?
No, wait, Shinron is Shinron. What?
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else then.
No, you're thinking Shinron. Oh, Zenshi, that's it.
Zenshi is Shinron.
Yes. Okay. Shinron. I'm like, I forgot he was Zenshi. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're good on that. Let me get back to where. Fuck. Let me get back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you.
No. It's fine. So, fucking Alicia Toot's trying to interview Mance Warner. She's like, oh, what do you think? You know, what if Dynasty gets involved?
And
she's like, if you win, and he's like, what if? And then she's like, what if Dynasty gets involved? And Mance just looks at her and he goes, fuck him, which I thought was great. So then they interview Savio Vega, and Savio Vega was like, yeah, they're fucked up Dynasty. Like, they run in numbers, but they're cowards, blah, blah, blah. And I thought it was odd that they interviewed him. They replayed Brian Pillman getting assaulted by Injustice. Dude, the curb stomp, I had to watch it again. They used one of those JR cinder blocks where they stomped them on it and it completely shattered. So kudos to them for being safe, but it was over the top silly. I thought it was awesome. Injustice was fined and suspended. They're fined and suspended, by the way, which means we're probably not going to see them in the Mexico matches for the next couple of weeks. L.A. Parks were on. It was L.A. Park. It was Heel de L.A. Park. And there was another guy. I'll call him Purple L.A. Park. I forgot what his fucking name was. But they're challenging Psycho Clown.
I think that's his name.
Purple Park?
I think his name is Purple L.A. Park. That's exactly how it's on the roster page. That's how it's listed.
It's probably purple in Spanish, though, like Purpillo L.A. Park or whatever the fuck purple is.
No, what is purple in Azul? No, that's blue.
That's well close enough. Azula. Azula Park.
Azula Amblongada.
That's a little bit of a Waterboy reference, isn't it?
There you go.
So they challenged because Murder Clown is supposed to come in. No, Psycho Clown's supposed to come in, so they're challenging them to a six-man.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be like Psycho Clown, Murder Clown, Bocce Clown, whoever else is down there. Alicia, too, tries to get a word with the Dynasty, and fucking Richard Holliday, he's money, by the way. He's like, you're interrupting. Gino's rubbing down MJF right now. It's a pre-match tradition, and if this messes up, it's going to be on your head. And he's like, you're going to have a problem. And she goes, well, I don't want to have a problem. He goes, well, you better hope you're not a problem. And then the fucking Meat Castle, God bless him, goes, Richard, come on. You got the door open. What are we doing with the door open? We're letting out the rarefied air. And they closed the door on her. It was fucking amazing. It was really amazing.
Did you see the video that Holiday put up? It was Paul Roma doing an elbow and then running around the ring, and then Richard Holiday did the exact same thing and did it better. Like, he does a running Shinsuke Nakamura. Come on!
Did he really? I didn't see it. I gotta find that.
Oh, it's, I mean, not like, he doesn't do it. Like, it's not, it's the only description I could think of, but it's so good. And
no, I gotta,
Paul Roma does it.
Everything.
It's like from a Super Brawl. Paul Roma's version is from like a Super Brawl, and Richard Holliday did it at a show.
It wasn't,
and he just emulated it, and it was so funny.
It wasn't Paul Roma wrestling Alex Wright, was it?
I don't know who, because it doesn't zoom in on the guy on the mat for so long.
Gotcha. I'll have to check it out.
And it actually took me a little bit to figure out what show it was to read the ring to see what I think it was a Super Brawl, maybe a clash. I don't know, but
Kev,
it was, love Richard Holliday.
I've got,
long story short,
I've got your favorite segment from MLW Fusion. It's the top 10. Kevin hung up on me. Here's your differences. The only difference is King Mo and Low Key. Actually, this is an old one. It's the same as last. No, this is wrong. Whatever I'm reading right here is wrong. Low Key dropped to number 10 because he lost to King Mo, who's number 9 this week. And everything is pretty much the same. You know, of course, Jacob Fatu is still your world champion. We get, dude, if you get a chance, you have to watch the MJF promo from this episode. He is fucking on fire. He tells this story about this kid bullying him when he was little, throwing money at him, calling him all these like awful things, and saying he exercised, he went to the gym, he worked out just so on the last day of school he could knock the fuck out of this bully, and he got his comeuppance. And he's like,
listen, you had me at MJF promo.
And this is the best part, right? He tells Mance Warner at the end of the promo while he's screaming, he's like, you're not the only psychopath in MLW, pal. And he's like, he's fucking like just on fire, dude. It was great. Oh, by the way, we also get a little interview from the Von Erichs on quarantine in Hawaii, which is fucking amazing, dude. They should give Kevin Von Erich his own show, like fucking 10 minutes every fucking week. He's amazing.
Should call it Kevin Von Rasky.
He's so fucking great, dude. He's just so, he's got to be high during all these, dude. He just doesn't fucking care. It's so great.
It's Hawaii. What else are you going to do in Hawaii but get high-y?
I wonder if he hangs out with the Metal Maniac and Don Morocco in Hawaii. That must be an interesting fucking thing. You ever see the video of Metal Maniac and Don Morocco shopping at Home Depot? It's fucking phenomenal.
No, but we will end this podcast right now so I could watch it.
For real? All right, go take a break. I'll be here.
No,
when you get back.
I'm totally kidding, dude.
I know. I'm just playing along, dude. It's all gimmicks.
That's a good point.
So Mance Warner and MJF, dude, it's less than 8 minutes. It's fucking great. Less than 8 minutes. They had a fucking no fans, empty arena brawl. They beat the shit out of each other. At one point, fucking MJF is choking him out with a broom handle, and he fucking just like starts beating him up. He goes off to a corner and he starts calling a taxi on his phone, and Mancer fucking hits him and picks up the phone and goes, hey, yo, MJF don't need that taxi, I'm gonna have to cancel it. And he hangs up on him and he fucking beats him up some more. And when he gets him in the ring, he fucking gets him in the ring, hits him with the lariat. 1, 2, 3. Mancer says goodbye to MJF. We don't know if it's the end of the dynasty, but fucking Mance gets MJF out of MLW. It was a great way for MJF to fucking have his send off. Amazing match. Amazing.
Well, it can't be the end of the dynasty, right? Isn't the dynasty still a thing with that other guy?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I think that's why they brought in Gino Medina, so this way they can keep it going on, and he'll be like, I don't want to say their young boy, but he'll be like learning under their, you know, tree. And there's not.
Well, he's a funky cold Medina.
Oh, there you go. So he'll be more like the high flyer of the group, where Holiday will be like the technical guy, and of course the fucking Meat Castle is just gonna fucking destroy everybody. Who can also high fly as well when the mood strikes him, by the way. Don't discount Hammerstone.
He can do it all, man.
He's fucking, dude, they're all talented. Gino Medina, he'll learn a lot under these guys, no doubt. But that's it for MJF. He's no longer booked at two wrestling promotions. And
this was an empty arena. Matt wasn't there?
No, Matt was not there for this one. There were no fans.
Are you sure they didn't hold the taping just for him?
Who, for Matt?
Yeah.
No, Matt was fucking miserable after 7 hours. I don't even think he would have sat through that if it was Jesus fighting Satan in the fucking empty arena. Swear, dude, he was done. He was done. But thumbs fucking way up for MLW this week. They only had two matches. It was a shorter than usual episode, but they brought the goods, man. Now the next couple of weeks are going to be dog shit because they're going to be fucking wrestling in Mexico, so we'll see what happens. Oh, we're going to get a fucking Team Filthy press conference in 2 weeks, so yay for that. More of Dominic Guarini's titties in my face is always a fucking good thing.
Yeah.
And that was MLW for the week, Kev.
Mitty Gurney.
Now, I know Matt and all the henchmen did an awesome job covering AEW Dynamite last week. You like that, the henchmen? I don't know. What else would you call them? They're fucking at Matt's beck and call to do his bidding, by the way. So, I mean, what? It's like...
it's funny because it's true.
I'm going to start calling them like D-Generation Y.
Oh, my God. WHY?
Exactly.
No, I listened to that show. It was a good show.
They do a great job. I'm just having fun with them. But Matt could be like Big Daddy Fool.
Oh, God.
Can we come up with a different euphemism for China for Kate? Can we call her like Antarctica or something?
She's not that cold.
No, but all right, listen, she's Antarctica. Like, she dresses up in like a babushka and glasses. Mm. And we call her Antarctica. No?
Maybe she dresses up like an ant.
That's what I mean. And then, of course, the AOP is, you know, the AOP. So, well, there you go.
What could they be? Like, how could they be transformed into DX?
Well, DY.
The new age. What?
The new age in-laws.
There you go. No, the new age twin laws.
Oh, fuck, I like it. It's me.
Nah, that
it's
was
the AOP. Oh, you can't know?
Come to Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Oh, man, no, they did a great job with that show. And no, it's a different dynamic. It's,
they
it's
do,
more
man.
Content. It's more content that we put out with and they, more voices than just the three of ours.
And they
so
flow,
I love
man.
It.
They work so well. You know what I find funny as well? Matt just, like, fucking disappears to go take a piss and just leaves them all talking to themselves.
And they're not even in the same room. They're on the phone.
It's so fucking great.
They have no idea what they're doing.
No, it's funny because I think it was Anthony. He's like, and I guess Matt just decided to go take a piss, so I guess we're in charge now.
So good. So
I love
good.
It. I love
but I
it.
Do have to take him to task for something.
Oh shit, let it out.
And it's not I talked to Kate about this. She can't be they can't dub her corporate Kate. There's only one corporate person in this business.
Yeah, she's more like a groupie for Meltzer, or maybe, I don't know, a Meltzer.
No. I'm not saying that she's, I'm not going to put her there.
No. I didn't mean groupie that way. I mean, but like, kind of like you're a groupie for like the Marks, the major Marks.
Wait, what?
You kind of are.
A groupie?
Yeah, come on, dude. Come on. I'm not saying you're like a rat. I'm saying you're like a, well, maybe that's a bad connotation. All right. You know what? Strike the whole fucking groupie conversation. Whatever you are to the major Marks.
You might be. Let me. Take
oh
a
no!
Second.
Wait. So you're jumping on this bandwagon now? Maybe I was onto something. Are you kidding? I was ready to walk it back, and you want to take another step? Go for it. All right. Let me ask the question.
I guess that's the most positive spin you could probably put on it.
Why are you leaving me to hang? Why are you hanging me out to dry over here, dude? I tried to walk.
Because now I'm reevaluating my entire life, Tony.
No, it's all good. No, all right. Look, okay, let me rephrase it. She's a mark for Meltzer the way you are for WWE, so maybe she's a Meltzer mark. But she can't be corporate. She can't be corporate. Well, you are a boss.
No, I mean, WWE's my boss. I can't. What do you want? Hunter, I report to Hunter.
Oh, it's Hunter? I thought it was Paul.
No, I mean, I got my first reprimand. He said, don't call me Paul ever. Call me Hunter. The next one is going to be written down and it's going to be delivered, hand delivered to you by Zack Ryder.
Not even when you were in the limo? Like, you can't call him Paul in the limo?
No. He doesn't like it.
Oh, that's shit, man. I'm sorry.
They actually kicked me out of the back of the limo and made me ride in the front with the driver.
Oh, fuck, dude. I'm sorry. Yeah. That sucks.
It was bad.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
But I'm still a major mark, you dicks.
Do you have anything about AEW? I mean, I don't know what else there is to cover besides what those guys went over on Wednesday last week.
I mean, they're doing the best they can with what they got.
I know there was a discussion that they had Wednesday where they filmed it. They actually taped at QT Marshall's training facility. That's what they used up in Georgia. So, nice. Yeah, because they felt like they had to get out of Florida because there were too many restrictions on it. So, who knows what they're going to wind up doing next.
Marshall's got that kind of money, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, man. You know, I don't feel too bad for them jobbing out every week now after all. So, although they won last week, they beat two scrubs dressed as the Dark Order.
That's right. The Natural Nightmares beat 8 and 9.
So, there you go.
That's right. You know why 6 was afraid of 7?
I know, because 7's a jerk off.
That's right.
Kevin.
Yo.
If I told you there was a way to support the Shining Wizards, would you believe me if I told you that?
I mean, I'd be hard-pressed not to.
Okay, well, you know that you can go on your podcast platform of choice and leave us a 5-star review and a little comment about how much you love us, right?
Oh, baby.
You know you can head over to prowrestlingtees.com/ShiningWizards and get yourself a Shining Wizards t-shirt, right?
Oh, I did know that, actually.
Kevin, if I told you that you could be a Patreon patron for as little as $1, would you think I was out of my fucking mind?
For a dollar?
$1. I'm sorry, I stepped over your line.
Like, a dollar. If 100 of our closest friends just gave us a dollar a month, we'd be able to do so much. So much.
And we're already doing a lot, but we'd be able to do that much more, right? Am I wrong?
We'd be outlandish, like Zicky Dice.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Now I got to find the fucking button. Where the fuck did I put the button? Fuck, I can't find the button.
Push the button. What are you, Rush Hour?
Oh, I got this one.
Whoa!
You like that, right?
I love it. I love the full one. I love the one that we had originally, and I love the one with the whoa!
Outlandish!
Speaking of Zicky Dice, quick shout out to our man. His episode of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood debuted this past week. I believe it was Sunday, and it's fucking amazing, dude. He comes out to the ring. He's sporting a Shining Wizards pink and black, looking fucking outlandishly perfect. Great stuff. Oh, and he beat up friend of ours, Jervis Cottonbelly, by the way.
I saw that.
Yep. Good shit, man. Zicky Dice, big things for that guy. Make sure you're supporting him. And go buy a $16,000 fanny pack while you're at it.
Was this the first time that somebody wore our shirt on quote-unquote TV?
Yes, I believe so. I know a few guys have worn it to the ring before, but never on like a national show like that. Never.
Right, like Moff wore our shirt to many a wrestling show.
Yeah, and a few other guys have over the years. I know Janela's worn his a few times. Off the top of my head, but yeah, that was huge for us. Big props to our friend of the show, Zicky Dice. One, I'm telling you, dude, still number one guest, at least in my book.
I'm still going top five because Stevie Ray
Yeah, I know. That's all right.
Landstorm.
Take some time to think about it. It's all right. It's good.
No, Stevie Ray, Landstorm off the top of my head, just because Landstorm is one of my all-time favorites. So that was a huge, huge, ridiculously crazy thing that I never thought I'd ever be able to say, is that I talked to Landstorm on the phone, Chris Jericho, twice. But Ziggy Dice was – Ziggy Dice is top five, easily, 100% top five.
Well, there you go. And now, Kevin, I want to tell you and everybody out there that for as little as $1, you can become a patron. What does that mean? You get mentioned each and every week on our airwaves. And that's not all. The more you donate, the more goodies you get. We're talking watch-alongs. We're talking discounts at Pro Wrestling Tees for our merchandise. We're talking boxes of wizardry, Kevin. Come on.
Oh, baby.
Boxes of Wizardry were gone for a long time, and Matt said, you know what? If the good people are going to support us that much, we're going to give it right back to them. And right now, we want to thank those who continue to support us every week. It's our roll call of the Patreon producers.
Oh,
I wish I had a little like, wah, 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 wah. I don't know where the fuck that is either. I guess I wasn't ready for
Ask
anything.
Ask DJ Z.
Oh, great. I have one soundbite twice. That's probably why I don't have that one. All right, so here we go. So here's our list of Patreon producers. We want to thank Kathy Hummer, the Queen of the Shining Wizards, our buddy Manny Kratzo from across the way, the King of the Shining Wizards, the AOP of the SWP, part of D-Generation Y, Danny and Anthony, the Russinellos, Ryan Arthur from the Elementary Brewing Company, elementary.com. They're the folks that hosted us. Please make sure you go out and support them. The Sean... go ahead.
Great place.
It is.
Not great place.
Fucking awesome. The Seans, Sean Toe and Sean Coleo. Mr.
All right, Tony, I'm going to stop you right there.
What's up?
I feel like we group them together just because their name is the same. Do they even know each other?
No, but that's what makes it great because they're Seans. And they both spell their name the same exact way. It's not All S-E-A-N. Right. It's S-H-A-U-N, which is fucking awesome.
All right, I'll allow it.
All right. Brett Simonello, what do you hear? What do you say? Kate the Great Hensler from On Deck IC. You got shit to promote? Kate's your lady. Matt Garifo, no relation. Matt Mellinger, for sure no relation. Christine Frusenglas, your Friesendorf. You like that one, right? The other half of the something sign girls. Metal Chick Rock.
Friesendorf. Christine.
I know, Christine, yeah. What'd you just realize she's a supporter?
No, I'm just there. I didn't hear you say your name.
I said it. You probably cut out. No. Corinne Jensen, the metal chick from Radioactive Metal. Mark Parolini, Scotch Drinkmore himself, Mr. Kenny Horsey. Big Copper Pump, J Cop, the best fucking thing about the turnbuckle throwbacks. Mr. Motzbach himself, Thomas Copps. And of course, Kevin, last and definitely least, William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You're quarantined.
That's fucking great. I love all those people. I love anybody that comes out to support us.
It's ridiculous how much we appreciate them. It's incredible. Thank you. Thank you to all of them. And that's it.
Like we said, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You get on over there for as little as a dollar. You get on the list. There's tons of other goodies. Check it out. We got another watch along coming this week. I'm going to sit down. I might actually do something for WrestleMania for this month. I haven't really decided yet, but look forward to doing that. Of course, as far as...
Wait. Which WrestleMania do you think you have in mind?
Probably 36, part one, maybe, or maybe part two.
Oh, you're actually talking about watching the actual WrestleMania.
I might do something recent, yeah. I might do a couple matches.
It doesn't get more recent than that.
A few of them were a little short, so I might have to squeeze a couple of them together. Unless I do Edge and fucking Randy Orton, then I'll just fucking get a book and start reading the book while that match is going on.
Oh, we're going right into it, aren't we?
All right, you want to? Let's do it.
What do you want to do, buddy?
I want to do that. You know what I want to do? I want to pull up the WrestleMania theme too, so this way.
It better be the best WrestleMania theme, or it's gonna be the post. What was it? The weekend.
No. Let me see if this is the good one. Let me see. There we go. Still the greatest WrestleMania theme of all time.
Linda McMahon did not come out to this.
No, she came out to some other dog shit. I could play that one if you want.
No, this is the best one.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin, two nights of WrestleMania. How did you make it through?
the way everyone else did. I stayed at home, popped a couple cold Steve Weisers, and I watched it. I watched both nights, and I made it through, brother.
I did. I don't know how feasible it would be to do this, you know, going forward as WrestleMania, like having two nights as a concept. But I think for the circumstances, for the way everything played out, it was kind of nice having it split up a little bit, you know?
100%. And actually, we mentioned Lance Storm before. He put out a tweet over the weekend. And I believe he worked for them now. I think he's a producer for WWE. Lance
yeah,
Storm.
As a matter of fact, he closed up his wrestling school so he could take the job as a producer, yes.
Yeah. So he said that he would take 2 3 to 4 hour WrestleManias over the span of 2 days as opposed to 1 8-hour WrestleMania, which is always – it's for the last couple of years has been the hotly contested debate whether or not you want a weekend event as opposed to just a one-night event for WrestleMania.
It's
so this was, to me, this was as sad as the times are and weirdly the way that this went down – it is a template for something that they might very well do in the future, I think.
You know what? There's a lot more that goes into it, though, than just splitting it up to make things a little more, you know, relaxed, a little more like, hey, we could go home, freshen up, spend another day, and then go back for another show. I mean, there's expenses with having this whole setup for two nights. There's the thing of, like, now you have to sell double the tickets. Do you announce the cards, you know, because,
well, on the tickets part, if you buy a ticket for WrestleMania, that could just give you access to both nights. No,
I mean, I guess they could do it that way with technology. Now they could just scan like have two barcodes on a ticket maybe, or just have the barcode work for both nights. I'm sure it could work that way, but then how much are you going to charge for tickets? Are you going to double ticket prices? Are you going to like do 1.5? Are you going to be able to get a better rate on a venue? Like, I don't know what it costs to run a stadium with 80,000 people, but I can't imagine it's going to be like, you know, yeah. I can't imagine they're going to give you that much of a discount if you got to run it for two nights. But then again, I don't know.
All the points that you brought up are great. This isn't the first time that we've heard about it. Like, it's been talked about amongst other people way smarter than me. So, but I think
nobody's
that you make a lot of good points in that situation where, I mean, how do concert festivals do it? How do other multi-night events work? I don't know, but
yeah,
I think
you
that
notice-
you're right. I was just kind of spitballing initially. But I mean, it worked. I loved it. From watching at home, I loved it two nights.
It's always weird because, like, I'm sure you know, like, say Metallica comes to MetLife Stadium and it's like, you know, Metallica's there only on Friday night, blah, 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 blah. And then in fucking like 2 hours, they sell out the tickets and they go, they just decided to add a Saturday to rock your face even more. Yeah. So it's like, did they have Saturday in their back pocket or did they just like call them up and go, hey, we need another night? So like, I really don't know how it works. It's way past my pay grade, way past.
100%.
There was a lot to these two nights. We had 18 matches. Let's just go in order, by the way. Opening night one. Our boy Drew Gulak made an appearance at WrestleMania, taking on Cesaro. I thought it was a good little quick match. I was disappointed that Gulak didn't win, but I guess I should have saw that coming. I picked him more with my heart rather than with my brains for wrestling. I picked a lot of shit with my heart rather than my brains for wrestling, Kevin. Well,
we all did.
What'd you think?
What, Gulak Cesaro?
Yeah, the one thing I found interesting is Cesaro did an airplane spin with no hands.
Oh, because Gulak helped him out tremendously with that.
Yeah, but Gulak wasn't even holding on either. Gulak was just kind of on his shoulders, and he was spinning around. I was like, what the fuck? It was great. It was fucking great.
I feel like Gulak, even though he was the Cruiserweight champion going into last year's WrestleMania in front of all these people at MetLife. But if there was any venue that was made for Drew Gulak to perform, it was this venue. He could thrive and he could work in front of one person or a million and he'll still be the same Drew Gulak.
And that's so, and that's the difference between people who have come up like working in front of a crowd and people who've had the experience, you know, doing something like that where he gets to shine, you know? I mean,
yeah. And he's just that kind of guy. He's that guy that he'll give it. I mean, I'm not saying that the others won't, but you see, when you see Drew Gulak and you know Drew Gulak, and even if you don't know him, even you see his character on TV and you see his expressions and you watch 205 Live, you watch SmackDown, you watch Raw, Drew Gulak is a guy that will give you everything he has because he knows nothing else. Like, yeah. That's just who he was in Evolve and CZW and all that. That's who Drew Gulak was, and that's who he is. So the fact that he's getting – listen, I'll tell you right now, I'm making a bold prediction.
Here we go.
This time next year, or this time by next year in the next few months, Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan will be the WWE Tag Team Champions.
Oh, I don't doubt that at SmackDown. All. I don't doubt that at all. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, that wasn't that big of a hot take, actually.
No, it was pretty hot. I'm feeling a little flushed over here. You know, you warmed me up a little bit. Speaking of warming things up, Alexa Bliss and that fucking maniac friend of hers, Nikki Cross, defeated the Kabuki Warriors. Never would have thought that was coming. This was a hell of a match, dude. They beat the piss out of each other. It was a lot of screaming, a lot of like one woman was down for a while, but it made sense in the story. Really fucking well done match, dude. And fucking Asuka's crazy. She was screaming her fucking head off. She's a maniac. You're just staring at me. Did I lose you? Kev, what are you doing? Come on. I think I lost Kevin. All I see is this face. I wish I could take a picture of it. I'm going to try to take a picture while he's figuring shit out. No, he's gone. Yep. Kevin hung up on me again. Ay, ay, ay. Let me try calling this monkey ass back. Bloop, bloop. Kevin, answer. Annoying. Yeah, so Kevin's unavailable again. Now I'm gonna call him an asshat. Asshat. Okay. So I'll move on. I'll move along without Kevin. Yes, Kabuki Warriors, Alexa and Nikki Cross, great match. I was very surprised. I picked the Kabuki Warriors. Didn't think that Alexa and Nikki would win, and alas, they did. Elias and King Corbin. Not a fan of this match at all. It wasn't really that great. I just kind of was like, eh. Completely set up. Corbin puts his feet on the ropes to try to pin Elias. The referee catches it. Elias rolls him up with a handful of tights. So who was really the face here? I don't know. Fucking Elias won. I really thought Corbin would have won. Corbin beat the fucking Roman Reigns from pillar to post for like months. And then he fucking loses to Corbin. He loses to Elias at WrestleMania. Whatever. Raw Women's Championship match, Becky Lynch defending against Shayna Baszler. If you would have told me to bet on this match, I would have been fucking homeless. My wife would have left me. My kid would have disowned me because I would have fucking bet a bazillion dollars on the fact that Shayna Baszler was going to walk out the champion in this one. So long story short, and this is when I realized that I was probably going to lose. When Becky Lynch comes to the Performance Center driving a truck with her face fucking airbrushed on it with the man written on it, they're going to be sticking with the man for a little bit. And that was probably my mistake. And Shayna Baszler put her in her fucking cucamonga crutch, whatever the fuck they call it. And Lynch does the flip backwards, sort of like Bret Hart did to not only Stone Cold, but to Roddy Piper. And of course, Becky Lynch retains. You know, the feeling was during the match that Shayna Baszler was going to murder her, but she kept fighting back, and it was a good match. Just not an expected finish. I'll say that. Sami Zayn defends the Intercontinental title against Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke, Cesaro, Drew Gulak. Everybody's around. This was actually a nice comeuppance for Sami Zayn. Daniel Bryan literally beats the shit out of him for most of the time. Sami Zayn does come back for a little bit, gets in some offense. There's some nonsense that went around outside. Daniel Bryan, just a fucking complete act of contrition, just beating the shit out of Sami Zayn. Zayn fucking hits the Helluva kick in midair. I don't know what's going on, Kevin. You're not calling me back. I'm going to try calling him back again because now he's being a little crybaby. And, of course, Sami Zayn is your winner. I'm going to try calling him again. And it's not ringing. Actually, it is ringing. He's not answering. All right, I'm going to try shutting off Skype. This is ridiculous. I'm calling you, and you're not there. All right, you know what? I'm going to hang up on Skype. I'm going to try to fucking disconnect this. Let me click that, and let me go back. Sorry for the technical snafus, folks, but we still, after fucking 8 years of doing this, are not fucking used to all these nonsensical things. The triple threat ladder match that they were still advertising as tag matches up until pretty much the start of this show. John Morrison defends the SmackDown tag titles against, for the Usos, Jimmy Uso, and for the New Day, Kofi Kingston. These guys beat the shit out of each other. This was actually a really good match. The shit they were doing, smacking each other around, doing like completely insane things to each other. All three, for the conclusion, go up at once. Morrison's grabbing onto the belt. Jimmy and Kofi are trying to pull the whole contraption down because, you know, you've seen the golden belt hanging contraption thing they've been using for the past couple of years. And as they got it down, it's in everybody's hands and there's a little bit of a shooka shooka shimmy shake. And as John Morrison falls down, the belts fall down with him to retain as Jimmy Uso and Kofi look at each other dumbstruck. Morrison comes away with both belts. Morrison wins the match. A bit of a strange ending, but one that I was okay with. But I really did think that because Miz was out, they were going to go a different direction and go with the Usos as champion. And, of course, they didn't do that. Miz completely retains the title for himself and Morrison. I wonder how much longer they're going to go with the tag belts for those guys, or if they're going to wind up trying to break out, John Morrison on his own. Here comes Kevin. Kevin's T-Dump. Finally back. What happened, bro?
You tell me.
You disconnected. Your face was frozen looking at me, and you disappeared.
Story of my life.
And then I called you back, and you were gone, and then I called you back, and you didn't. It wasn't even ringing anymore.
I called you like four times.
Well, then I shut down Skype. I reloaded it back up. It took like 5 seconds, and then that's when I called you, and that's when I got through to you, so we're good.
Where'd we leave off?
Oh, I started just plowing ahead, dude. I didn't want to sit here for fucking 10 minutes. You have any comments on Morrison retaining the titles for your boys? What'd you think of the ending?
Tell me that wasn't the match of the night, by the way.
It was great. I don't know if it was match of the night, but it was a great match.
Wait, the Boneyard match was the match of the night?
We haven't gotten there yet. You know what? For pure wrestling, yes, I will give that to you. This was the match of the night. This was a great match. Great
and what,
match.
What I took away from that ladder match is that we take for granted what they do, because when they're in front of the large crowd, you don't hear the pain. You don't hear the ladder shots. You don't hear... the stuff they put themselves through as much as you did with this match, and you could tell the spots they beat themselves up, they beat each other up, and it was without a doubt it was my highlight of the night, to be honest with you. This match and Kofi and Jimmy Uso and John Morrison, former guest of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, two time.
John Morrison? Well, yeah, he was on and he was with us at the PWS Super Show. Hey, but don't forget, you also interviewed Kevin Owens at that show. So Kevin Owens is a former friend of the show.
Oh, of course. I mean, we'll get to that match for sure. Is that where you left off? Is that where you were trying to segue me into that?
That's what we're getting to. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Actually, it's the next match on the card, so it was a good segue anyway.
Great match.
They really beat the shit out of each other. I was kind of like not feeling the fucking Jeff Jarrett start and stop. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't really feeling that. I think it could have done without it. I think at one point in the match, if they could have had them bantering, going, "You want to make a no DQ? You want me to beat the shit out of you with this or with like a chair or something?" And then fucking Owens just says, "Do it," and the referee's like, "All right, let him. I'm gonna let him do it." That would have been cool.
I mean, but who's telling them no? This is like the WrestleMania beyond WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I just thought it was weird, like that they had to stop it, and then he was like Rollins was trying to run away with his tail between his legs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, the match was over at that point
until Owen said, "Get your ass back here, you bitch."
Well, I know it. I just watched, like I said, I've been watching the Royal Rumble. Same thing happened with Razor Ramon and Jeff Jarrett. And you mentioned Jeff.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. It was the same shit. But I don't know. I could have did without that. But everything else was fucking awesome. Owens had to do his fucking cannonball off the top, off the fucking top of the fucking pirate thing, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
It's called the poop deck, Tony.
Yes. Well, I have a different meaning for the word poop deck, Kevin.
I'm sure you do.
Of course I do.
You and Louie.
I love this shit.
I love that poop deck.
So next we don't get a match per se, but R-Truth comes out and joins Gronk and Mojo Rawley, and he fucking was hiding because he didn't want to defend the 24/7 title, and he fucking loses it to Mojo Rawley, who runs off
so good,
pretty much gives Gronk the in your face come fight me, and then runs off with it. Tremendous stuff.
Playboy.
Now Kevin, the build-up to this next match had a different opponent in mind, but said opponent had to pull out because of the coronavirus stuff. And never in a million years did I think that they would just insert someone else into this match and let said person walk away, the Universal Champion. Goldberg defends against Braun Strowman. What'd you think? I mean, we know the outcome. What'd you think?
Yeah, and I'm going to jump ahead. This was just this match and the Drew-Brock match. Tale of two matches that are the exact same. Finisher versus finisher, finisher versus finisher, 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 finisher. And it's been a long time. You know what this reminds me of, though, is when was the last time that someone that you never expected to be the champion get inserted and be the champion? To me, off the top of my head, this reminds me of, and not by anything other than just the premise, not the match, not the styles, not the people. Just, I never expected in my wildest dreams in 1992 that Bret Hart would beat Ric Flair out of nowhere and become the WWE World Champion. Now, again, not comparing, because people are going to criticize this, but people are going to criticize the entire situation. Roman's gone, Braun's in, Goldberg's the champ to begin with. There's a lot to criticize here, but the fact that Braun won, even though I had Goldberg winning this match.
So did I.
And maybe prolonging the Roman Goldberg match to maybe SummerSlam, or maybe to when we get back to something that constitutes going to a wrestling show where you could have a crowd. This threw me for a loop. And the only thing off the top of my head I can compare it to is when Bret Hart out of nowhere beat Ric Flair for the world title.
I mean, in hindsight, the more that I thought about it after Goldberg lost, it becomes, you know, you have to wonder, how many matches is Goldberg signed for? What's his deal after WrestleMania? If they keep the title on him, is it going to prolong his appearances? Does he even want to do any more appearances? Was he signed just to put his opponent over at WrestleMania for the championship? So these were a lot of questions that I should have thought about before instead of after. And the other thing was, I think they missed the boat with Braun Strowman a couple of years ago, when they completely and utterly should have put one of the championships on him at that point. I'm not saying too little too late. I'm happy for the guy. No. It's just a really weird situation. But like you said, like, I'm not sure. The only thing that I could really remember, and it was, you know, it was more of a work than it was like a last second thing like this, was when the Ultimate Warrior was announced very last second as the Honky Tonk Man's opponent, you know? But even in this situation, Goldberg still technically had a day to prepare. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't completely out the gate, out the box, but boy, they really waited till the last minute to change a lot of this shit on SmackDown the night before, didn't they?
And sometimes these situations bring out the best, not only in the person who benefits from it, but for the entire show. So like Braun Strowman now, even though no one saw it coming, he's been booked terribly. Look at Jinder Mahal. That's another one. Look at Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
Like booked terribly for years. And I'm not saying Braun Strowman is remotely booked as bad as Jinder Mahal. Not even going to say that. But that came out of nowhere. And I mean, jury's out whether that was a good run or not a good run, but it made his career. Braun Strowman was already established guy, world title matches, Intercontinental Champion, whatever. That means nothing to me at this point. But this could be where Braun needed to be. And as a company, as WWE, this could be the guy that you know is going to be there every week.
I do.
Not that Roman wouldn't have been.
No, I get you. I get what you're saying. I do.
He'd be there every week. And if you want to peel back the layers of the onion, like deeper in terms of just the match basics, yeah, was Goldberg going to beat? Part of me feels like if they ask Goldberg to stick around for another couple shows, listen, he doesn't have to be on TV every week. If they wanted him to stick around till, I don't know, June, I think he would have done it if it was a 1 month. Like, but then again, I don't know diddly about Goldberg. So even though I picked Goldberg to win and I was hoping that maybe we'd get the Goldberg-Roman match that seemingly people want, I don't hate the fact that they put it on Braun, and I think it was the right move in hindsight.
I can honestly see the result and the same layout of the match had Roman Reigns actually been in there. I think maybe they wanted to protect the jackhammer, which is why you saw Goldberg going for it, and that was the big shine moment for Braun. I could see the same thing happening with Roman Reigns, where like if he went for the jackhammer, Roman Reigns hits him with a Superman punch, then off the ropes with a spear, another spear. You know what I'm saying? Like I could see the same thing playing out. It's just weird, like you brought up. Like, we saw this match here, and then we're going to see pretty much the same cookie-cutter match the next night, you know, when it comes to Drew and Brock. Jeez, I'm mixing up all these names. There's too much going on in my head.
But, it was too big for one night, Tony.
You know what, though? For what it was, I was fine with – I picked Goldberg, another fucking mistake on my part, but I'm happy with the outcome. Good for Braun. Hopefully they let him run with this for a little bit, and we'll see what goes from there.
Do they have a choice?
No, they didn't have a choice. But maybe
no. I mean, do they have a choice to not run with him, or do on SmackDown this Friday, does someone show up and beat him? I don't think they have a choice. They got to run with him, right?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty fucking stupid. I mean, the guy just won and lost the Intercontinental Belt for a cup of coffee. You know, I would really hope they wouldn't do the same thing with the Universal Championship. But I guess we'll have to tune in Friday and find out, right, Kev?
That's right,
Kevin. The final match of night one. I know a certain other wizard fucking hated this thing, but I couldn't be more on the other side of the fence.
Is he joining us, by the way?
He might be. I'm not sure. I think he's still tied up at work, but who knows? But I'll tell you this much, dude. For everything that went into this, from the production to the music with Metallica playing as The Undertaker rolled up, to the return of the American Badass with the leather and the bandana and the flannel and all the good shit, with the Good Brothers getting involved, with the guys in the hoods getting involved, with the flames, with the fucking cheesiness of going in the grave and The Undertaker reappearing behind AJ. This, top to bottom, was exactly the cards they were dealt, and they fucking played them beautifully. They may not have gotten a royal flush to some people, but God damn it, they had four aces and they were fucking running with them. This was fucking great, great, great. Match-wise, it wasn't a match. Entertainment-wise, this is fucking 20 stars in the Tokyo Dome. I love the shit out of this. Even the cheesy ending with the fist up on the motorcycle and the Undertaker logo lights up in neon on the fucking barn and the flames go up. I'm like, motherfucker, this was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
I couldn't agree more. When it started, though, I will say, just like, I don't know if it's the cynic in me or the negativity in me in nature. When it first started, I was like, oh, boy. But listen, I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew it was going to be this. I knew exactly what it was going to be. But when it started, I was like, oh, they're talking. There's dialogue. There's this. There's that. I was like, oh, boy, this could be rough. And then light switch flipped, and it was perfect. for the remainder. I mean, you knew what it was going to be. Like I said, like you knew exactly what it was going to be. And I didn't realize it was going to be this good.
And this was the WWE being smart. They sent, from what I read, Jeremy Borash to go out to help The Undertaker and AJ and Gallows and Anderson to actually put this thing together. And it shows, because a lot of people were making the comparison to like the Final Deletion stuff with Matt Hardy. You know, I mean, look, I get it. It was kind of on that scale, but dude, everything about it was just fucking, like, I was screaming like a little schoolgirl when he's fucking standing, when he's in the fucking backhoe, and the Undertaker just is like behind him again after being in the grave, and I was like,
leave my girlfriend out of this.
Oh my God, dude, it was like, no fucking way, this is so amazing. Great.
Listen,
stuff.
Listen, to think that, and I'm just gonna call a spade, to think that this was not inspired, and this was not concocted. If Jeremy Borash was involved, then that just is the lid on it. This was Matt Hardy. All, like, and I'm not just saying that to be like a mark or anything like that, but like this wouldn't have happened if Matt Hardy was not a thing.
Yeah, but this is also filtering through the mind of Jeremy Borash. Now we get to see exactly how creative he is. Because if he was in charge of like the shit with Matt Hardy, it comes down to like the two Vince situation. You've got Vince Russo coming in with great ideas. You've got Vince McMahon saying, maybe we shouldn't run with this, or maybe we tone this down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got two minds working great together. You're going to get fucking masterpieces. And that's what this was. This was fucking a masterpiece.
And I'm not taking anything away from Jeremy Borash. And I'm not saying that Jeremy Borash couldn't have done this if Matt Hardy, the deletion stuff didn't happen. But you have to be, as big of a fan as I was of this, as corporate Kevin as you want to be, this does not happen if broken Matt Hardy does not happen.
Fair enough. I mean, but then again, I hear a lot of other people saying that this was very, like in the same vein of Lucha Underground as well.
All right, that's fair.
I mean, but like, I mean, I guess on a little bit, but then you could say like even like the broken Matt Hardy stuff, you know, like the Final Deletion, maybe that was a little bit of a Lucha Underground thing as well. Look,
yeah, you're right. And Matt mentioned the Lucha Underground, I think in our text, and you're right. Lucha Underground probably deserves some credit for this too.
But it's not even like.
And again, I don't think it's that monumental that anyone else deserves credit for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was good.
Again, it's not meant to take away from any one of these three things, whether it's Lucha Underground or the broken storyline or this, you know, like a Boneyard match. But it just goes to show if your back's up against the wall, a little creativity goes a long way. And that's what we got. And it was 100%. Fucking great. It was absolutely off the charts great. I agree. I'd rather not go into the picks right now because I don't have all the fucking numbers, but I do have the final numbers that Matt gave me. So let's just jump right into night number two. This was Sunday night. This was yesterday. WrestleMania 36 part two. We open up with Liv Morgan and Natalya, which was a last minute throw on. I know you guys were all about Natalya getting a win at WrestleMania. Had a feeling Liv was going to pull something off.
Wait. Listen, we picked her. We weren't all about it.
Oh yeah, you were. Come on. You like Natty with a little kitty cat fucking ears and all that shit.
But Liv Morgan's from my backyard.
Well, she's more from my backyard. Elmwood Park's a little closer to me than it is to West Orange.
That's a good point.
Elmwood Park is in my county, for Christ's sake. You know?
Did you hear what I said?
Well, no, what'd you say? You said...
She's your backhoe?
Wow! Oh, that. All right, good. You brought it back. I like that one.
I mean, this was, like you said, it was thrown together last minute. The match was actually really good, and they did a good job of trying to do what they could to make noise, but not to the point where your neighbors would be nervous. But I thought the match was great, actually, and I thought Liv Morgan... you don't get to see her a lot in the ring since that Lana Lashley stuff went by the wayside. I thought it was good. Although, Tony, I thought it was super fun.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for. Speaking of super fun, happy slides, the NXT Women's Championship on the line. Rhea Ripley defends against Ric Flair Jr. great match, horrible ending. Horrible, 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 horrible.
Really?
I don't think Charlotte needed to win this match. I don't see anything wrong with Charlotte taking a loss here and letting Rhea Ripley successfully defend the NXT Championship, because it opens up a lot of questions to me. Why do we need Charlotte going to NXT? Why do we need to take all... Here's ultimately the situation, right? This is the thing. Why are we putting main roster people, and they are main roster people, why are we moving them back to NXT, where in everyone's mind's eye, well, maybe not everyone, but in the people that watch Raw and the people that watch SmackDown's mind's eye, NXT is not on par. And you can argue that point. You can say, well, you know, Ciampa's doing this and Gargano's doing this, and you've got the Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era and Velveteen Dream and all these great, wonderful, talented people like your Keith Lee. Yeah. However, what have they really done other than put these guys in a few matches at Survivor Series to really let the WWE fans know that NXT is the third brand and it is at least on par with Raw and SmackDown? To me, somebody like a Charlotte going to NXT, sorry, I don't buy it. Finn Balor, he's got history there, and honestly, like, they weren't really doing a lot with him.
So does Charlotte.
Fair enough, but I'm gonna be honest with you. They don't tout Finn Balor to be the type of star that Charlotte is. They just don't.
Well, because that might be part of the problem. They never did. He won the Universal title, got hurt, boom. First ever Universal champion.
Yeah.
Got hurt, done.
But so ultimately, because they really haven't established Finn Balor as a tippy-top guy, he can sneak back into NXT, you know? Nobody batted an eye when Tyler Breeze and fucking Fandango went to NXT, right? Nobody batted an eye.
And do you remember that I think we had this conversation months ago about how certain people going there won't help. Like, it benefits the performer more than it does the brand. Like,
but you
as
think
much as I love Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and I think my point was, Mark status was like, if Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder go to NXT, it doesn't help NXT.
Yeah.
Like, it does nothing for it. But like a Finn Balor or a Charlotte, Finn Balor was the first big name that went back, probably the only big name that went back. And who knows if Charlotte's even going back full time or whatever. And you were right, though. Since Survivor Series, when they inserted the NXT brand into the Raw and the SmackDown stuff, no, they haven't done anything to let you know that they're a major player, and that's why they lose in the ratings to AEW every week.
So you think this move with Charlotte is simply to shore up NXT? Like, do you think Charlotte can tip the needle? That's the question.
I don't think so.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. And I think ultimately it's because they really haven't established NXT as that third brand. They just haven't. And it's
But now here's the other question now. If Rhea Ripley or Bianca Belair or these people start showing up on Raw and then NXT, could that tip the needle? Maybe the Raw watchers or the SmackDown watchers will discover it on Wednesday nights. Maybe. I mean, God, how long has NXT been on USA now? 6, 7, 8 months? 7 months?
Yeah, I think September or August, maybe.
It was the first night that AEW did. They went head-to-head for the first time at the same time, I think, right?
No. NXT actually started a couple weeks earlier. I don't know if they had...
It was an hour on USA and an hour on the network.
Yes. So they were already testing the waters before AEW got on, you know.
But AEW made the announcement first.
Yeah, and AEW's, NXT's had a handful of wins, but it's pretty much a one horse show at that point, you know. NXT's not really. I mean, look, they've got their fans. They're not doing terribly, but they're not beating AEW. They're just not.
You want to watch a great match? Go back to NXT this past Wednesday and watch the main event with Punishment, Dijakovic, and Keith Lee. Whew. That was a good match.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start watching NXT more. I really am. I'm gonna have to start making time for it.
I think it gets shoved under the rug just because of how new still AEW is and the following that they have. But and Eric Bischoff, I think, made this point perfectly clear. It's like, all right, AEW is great, but they're beating, for lack of a better term, the third brand of WWE. So, like, if they went up against Raw, do you think they'd get smoked.
Yeah, well, because Raw has been established for how many decades now, you know? I mean, Raw's been on for, like, two decades with really no competition, right?
Oh, of course. So, but, like, we have to keep everything in perspective. AEW is great. I actually love – listen, I know it's corporate, Kevin. I like AEW more than I like NXT and Raw and SmackDown.
No,
but
I
want to watch NXT because I feel like it does get shoved under the rug. So I'll watch NXT just because it doesn't seem like anyone else is.
Hell yeah!
Sorry.
I think AEW is fantastic. So.
I just didn't like the ending. I mean, we'll have to see.
Tony, you frozen.
Am I really? You're there. You're moving.
Tony.
You good? Oh, no. Kevin, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
You messing with me?
No, I'm not messing with you. Are you messing with me? You guys could hear Kevin, right? Now Kevin. Oh, Kevin's still there.
Did I broke the podcast.
You're there, dude. We can still hear
you.
Did
I break the podcast?
We can still hear you. You're talking to yourself. We can still hear you, Kevin. Kevin, you're still there. All right, you know what? I'm just going to go without the video. Oh, no, he's gone. He did break the podcast. This is getting ridiculous. Kevin and his faulty connections here. Boop, boop. All right, I'll wait for Kevin to call me back. Let me try shutting off my Skype, and I'll go back to it in the meantime. So, where did we leave off? Yeah, you know what? I'm not crazy about the ending to that match, but we'll have to wait and see. Aleister Black takes on Bobby Lashley. Lana gets involved, does some stupid shit where she tells Lashley to go beat him up some more before he finishes him, and Aleister Black hits the Black Moon or the Black Mass or the Black Dingus, and Aleister Black with a big win on WrestleMania, so good for him. And I really do want to talk to Kevin about this next match because, God help me, he would have a great perspective on this. I'm going to try to get him back on the phone now. Let me see if I can get him. Do-do-do, boop-boop. Boom, boom, boom. Boop, boop. Oh, Kevin. And Kevin doesn't love me. Kevin doesn't love me. Na, 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 na. Whoa! Kevin doesn't love me. Whoa! Go on with the show. Shinran is Zenshi. There we go. Otis taking on Dolph Ziggler for the love of Mandy Moore. Mandy Moore? Sonya? Yeah, Mandy Moore. I think it was Mandy Moore. Whatever. So Ziggles comes out with Sonya Deville, and you know, there's some nonsense. Dolph's beating him up, and Otis comes back. He gives him the caterpillar and all this and that. Dolph hits a pee-pee shot because Sonya's getting involved, and Mandy Moore arrives, and she gives the low blow to Dolph. Dolph hits the caterpillar. He wins. Love wins the day. And this is a complete fucking 180 to what they did to Zack Ryder years ago, where Zack Ryder had his woman stolen from him. He got kicked in the balls. He lost his fucking 7-on-7 match. At WrestleMania, there was no more power to the people, and there was power to the people. There was no more love for Teddy Long's group on SmackDown, and that was pretty much that. I'm gonna try calling Dingus back. I really wish there was a way that I could mute this ringing. Jesus. Do do do. Kevin, answer your fucking phone. Ay ay ay. You know what? Let me bitch about Skype for a minute. I really wish they would get rid of this fucking awful ringing. When they updated all their software a couple years ago, they decided that having the ability to mute a ringer was a fantastic idea. Because let's be honest, everybody likes to have that annoying ringing in their ear when they're trying to get a conference call together and whatnot. I guess I'm finishing the show without Kevin. Edge and Randy Orton fighting in a last man standing match. Apparently when Edge was getting into the ring, Orton sneak attacks him, disguised as a cameraman, and then we get to the fight. folks, if you have 32 minutes to sit and watch this match, 32, Jesus Christ, 37, shut up. If you have the time to watch this match, bring a sandwich because it's long. And I get what they're trying to do. And the ending was great with Edge, like, not really wanting to finish off his, like, you know, his running buddy and the guy that they had so many memories together and rated RKO and blah, blah, blah. But then the hatred came back. He's like, you fucked up my wife. You were talking shit about my family. You hurt Matt Hardy, who I stole his girlfriend. She's never mind. Yeah, so Edge decides to finish him off with the one-man concerto. There was a part where Orton was trying to hang Edge at some point, which is a little fucking creepy if you think about it. But yeah, some pretty crazy shit. Oh, here we go. Thank God. You know what's funny, dude? You were actually still talking, asking if you can hear me. And I'm like, yes, Kevin, I can hear you. And you were like, hello, hello, hello.
It's the new life we live, Tony.
Oh, fucking A, dude. All right, so listen. So I covered Otis and Dolph Ziggler. The only thing that I could really compare it to, which I think is completely unfair, because your boy Zack Ryder pretty much had the same story happen to him a couple years back, and it didn't end so well. The only thing I could say is it's nice to see that the WWE learned their lesson and they let love conquer all, which is something they really haven't done since the Macho Man and Elizabeth, to be honest with you.
You beat me to it.
But, yeah, I mean, it sucks that they fucking shit the bed when it came to Zack Ryder with his story all those years ago. But, I don't know, Kevin, love wins. Who gives a shit? I don't, whatever. A lot of pee-pee touching in this match, too.
Yeah, a lot of kicking in the nether regions.
Were you surprised that Mandy Rose came out to help her man and smooch and God help me, probably cuss.
No, I wasn't surprised. I didn't realize that Sonya Deville had already turned.
I didn't either because
I didn't know that.
I don't really watch WWE, so that's kind of why. Yeah. I didn't know that. I started getting into the Last Man Standing match with Edge and Randy Orton. Thoughts?
Oh, the best. That might be the best match of the whole weekend.
Really?
Other than the ladder match.
Really?
100%.
I think it told a great story. I just think it went way too fucking long, dude. Way too long. It was a fucking...
All right, so there's two things I want to say about that.
Go
that
for
scenario.
It.
If this was a one-night WrestleMania, maybe it wouldn't have gone that long. But because it was two nights and they needed 4 hours to fill, it probably went a little longer than scheduled. But for all we know, this was the length it was given the entire time.
Well,
and it just seems longer because of the scenario that we're in. And I don't want to make excuses for people. Listen, I'm not making excuses for anybody. If you didn't like the match, you didn't like the match. I got into a big argument with somebody in the major group that we're in. And I was like, dude, like this was the most intense match, like, storytelling wise, that I've ever seen. And I'd put that up against any match with or without a crowd.
I might have to watch it again to give it a second look and maybe give it a different chance. But I don't know, man. It took me out of it being so damn long. It really did.
And I'm not an Edge or Randy Orton guy. I don't like either one of them. To be honest, I mean, I respect them, but they're not my top five favorites, so I have no dog in this fight. I literally thought it was the creative use of the Performance Center, the amount of stuff that they had to use at their disposal was just. And that's if there's not going to be a crowd, that's the time to do it.
Excuse me.
If there was a live audience and you did that, then yeah, they would probably boo the heck out of it because they're not in front of. They're on the screen instead of in front of the audience. But this was, if there was ever a time to do a match like that, and it was perfect. I loved it. If you want to give the criticism that maybe some of it could have been cut, I'll give you that. But I just thought it was the most intense match. The story was great. Timing was great. Loved it. My favorite match on the show other than the ladder match.
Kev, we got a new 24/7 champion because right after this, everybody's fighting, trying to beat up Mojo Rawley and the Gronk. dives off of the fucking balcony there and lands on everybody. And he pins Mojo and wins the title. Yay.
But that may actually be the match of the night.
There you go. This is a nice cool down match. I thought it was actually really good, considering it was kind of like fucking makeshift and piecemeal. The Street Profits defeated Angel Garza and Austin Theory. Austin Theory making his WrestleMania and main roster debut, right?
Main roster, yeah. I mean, if you don't count NXT, yeah.
How's that for a fucking Raw debut? You're debuting on Raw at WrestleMania.
Not gonna lie to you, Tony. I went to the bathroom. And then when I came out, the match was over.
Well, then you didn't see the fact that What's-Her-Nuts got involved.
I saw the end. Bianca Belair, yes.
Bianca Belair and beat up Zelina Molina. And so there you go. So now the Street Profits are with fucking Ponytail Girl.
Well, I think Montez and Bianca, if they're not married, they're involved.
Well, there you go. And isn't Garza involved? Who's involved with what's her face? Ric Flair Jr.
Andrade.
There. So, and he wasn't there because he was hurt or out or whatever. Yeah. Kev, we got a SmackDown Women's 5-woman elimination match. Bayley defends against Sasha Banks, Tamina, Lacey Evans, and Naomi. I liked the dynamic a lot of this match. How Sasha and Bayley were kind of together, but Bayley didn't know if she could really completely 100% trust Sasha. I like that all the women teamed up on Tamina to get her the fuck out of there. Thank God she didn't hurt anybody for what she was involved in. She actually looked decent.
You're a meanie.
I don't give a fuck. That's who I am. I like how Sasha and Bayley were kind of like in the ring, and Bayley was like apologizing, like, oh, it's still you and me. Don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. And then she protected Sasha, or she thought she was protecting Sasha from Lacey Evans. But then Lacey Evans clocks Sasha with the woman's right and eliminates her. So then it's down to Lacey and Bayley. And then lo and behold, Sasha Banks comes out and helps her best friend retain the title. Interesting story. I thought that was
a great touch that she still committed after she lost.
Yeah, and so, plus, you know, like, they've always been teasing on and off that they weren't going to be friends. And Christ, I don't remember if they even feuded at one point or not. But lo and behold, friendship conquers all. A lot of feel-good moments here at this WrestleMania, even though it was the heels, but whatever.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's definitely going to lead to a feud. But I loved how they didn't – I like how they – even though I predicted Sasha to win, and I thought that would be the blow-off, I'm glad that they didn't do it. And the fact that, again, that Sasha did it when she didn't have to. She was already out of the match. And had no dog in the fight at the end of the day, but still came back and helped Bayley, adds to the storyline of their friendship and how strong it is and this and that, to one day, which, you know, all tag teams are put together to break up, as they say in wrestling. So I think it's going to happen, but I thought that was a nice twist for it.
Yeah, it was, and I was just very glad that Lacey Evans didn't win the championship. I still don't think she's ready, even though her fucking awesome theme music is fucking awesome.
What about that moonsault, bro?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you know, whatever. She hit a good moonsault, you know? It is what it is. I don't know.
Who has a better moonsault, Alexa Bliss or Springboard?
Twisted Bliss is fucking awesome, dude. She won the tag titles with that fucking move. Come on.
I think I like the springboard Lacey Evans moonsault better. That is a moonsault, right?
Well, she
like, jumps on the rope and then jumps on the turnbuckle and then does a flip. I like that better.
You know what I really liked?
Yeah, what did you like, Tony?
I really liked the Firefly Funhouse match. I thought this was fucking creative as shit. I loved it. I also loved the fact that Bray Wyatt fucking won. And John Cena lost.
Well, first of all, he didn't win. There was no winner of this match.
He won.
There was no match.
Kevin, go on WWE.com and click.
You went and actually looked.
No, I was fucking looking last night after WrestleMania. Firefly Funhouse match. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, defeats John Cena. It's right there. Second match listed under full results for WrestleMania 36 Part 2.
Fake news.
Oh, really? You didn't let me fucking hit the music. Fuck.
Were you planning on it?
No. I really wasn't. I'll give you this one.
These nuts.
Dude, come on. You can't count your own. Like, you counted his own pinfall. A hologram of himself counted the pinfall.
Dude.
There was no bell.
Dude, he was dressed up as Eric Bischoff and John Cena was Hulk Hogan. Come on.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It was great.
Fucking amazing.
In terms of picks, I don't think it really matters one way or the other.
No, it does because Matt and I took The Fiend and you took John Cena.
But if, in terms of the overall record, I think if that match is a wash or it's not a wash.
It's not a wash. It counts.
But I'm saying if it was, I don't think it would affect the overall amount of games I'd be back.
It might have.
Oh, wait, yeah, it does. It definitely does.
Yeah. But, dude, let's be honest. We're going to fucking wind up wrapping up this thing at the end of the month anyway. Because
but if me and Matt went 9-8, like you said, and you went 7-10, would there be a big – would there be a – bigger gap if me and Matt went
eight and eight
and you went 6-9.
All right. Well, then, since we're going to get into it, we might as well do this. It's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza. Tally results for nights 1 and 2 of WrestleMania 36. Kev, to be completely honest with you, I thought I had tallied up something else, but Matt actually gave me the rundown before he went back to doing whatever he was doing at work. It turns out for the two evenings combined, and I don't have the individual breakdown, I'm sure Matt will cover it at some point. If we don't cover it tonight, apparently we're running out of time, so he's not going to call in. But maybe we'll get into it in more depth next week, because who knows if we're going to have anything else to fucking talk about after next week. You and Matt finished the nights with 10 wins and 8 losses. I finished in second place with 8 wins and 10 losses. So I fall 2 games back from the two of you. I don't know the overall standings. I can tell you that I probably doubled my losses for the year with this event. But I think I do still have quite a bit of a lead at this point, but it is what it is.
Wait, so you were ahead going into this?
Oh, I've been ahead, dude. I was 38-10 going into this or something insane like
that.
I
don't know why I thought it was Matt for some reason.
No, dude, I've been running away with this.
All right, so me and Matt both gained 2 matches on you.
Me, yes. I think you might be behind Matt in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, I'm in last place for sure.
Okay, but I don't know how close you guys were. I think Matt had gotten a little closer to me. So he may only be a couple matches behind. I apologize for not having the full results. Oh, shit.
No,
shame on
it's
me.
Okay. Maybe Matt can tie it into, if he can, into the Shining Wizards Cup 2020, maybe, on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I don't know why
my
fucking GarageBand thing was jumping up and down. But there was a lot of cool shit that happened in this Firefly Funhouse thing, dude. First thing that really made me pop was they were fucking doing the Ruthless Aggression replay where Cena came out and Bray Wyatt was like Kurt Angle. And every time he tried to hit fucking Bray Wyatt was ducking underneath and disappearing and turning around and shit. Good stuff. Fucking Saturday night's main event where they had the Buzzard and Puppet Vince doing the commentary and they did the original Animotion intro to the main event. That I fucking just fell out of my chair, dude. I was like, what the fuck? This is awesome.
Yeah, that's the part that was weird to me. It was great. I was like, whoa. All right, I get what they're doing, like making it weird, but like Saturday night's main event, how does that tie in?
It was just so cool, and they had the fucking blue cage bars, and they were talking about being the ultimate tag team partners, and Cena fucking worked his arms up so much that he couldn't lift his arms anymore. And
the extra guys.
Yes. They did, and then they fucking did the Thuganomics thing where Cena was ripping on him for being Husky Harris and all that shit. Good stuff.
That's right.
What the hell else was there? Oh, the fucking NWO. He fucking.
Now I popped big for that.
But and the whole tie-in was like Cena with like they were toying with the fact that they might turn Cena heel, but they never did. So they played off like Hogan and Bischoff, which was fucking brilliant, dude. Brilliant.
Except that the only thing, I'm gonna sound like such a loser for saying this, is that Bray Wyatt was wearing the Wolfpack shirt.
Well, that's fine. It is what it is. I mean, I get it. I get it, but still, I guess they want to put their little flair into it. Fucking highlight Vince Puppet turning to the fucking to the fucking Buzzard, going, "This is good shit."
A lot of cursing on this show.
A lot, yeah, a lot of cursing. So it finishes up. They're having the little flashbacks, and Cena starts beating up the pig puppet where he thinks it's Bray Wyatt. And the next thing you know, the Fiend arrives, gives him the mandible claw, Abigail mandible claw. And the fucked up thing was the Fiend has got the claw on and Bray Wyatt makes the pin for the 3 count. That fucked me up.
Which is why it shouldn't count.
Shut up. It counts. WWE says it counts. It counts.
I don't think it does.
You could argue till the cows come home. It's not going to matter in this grand scheme of things.
No, I mean, in my mind, it all matters. So you guys can have your logic, and I'll have mine, and mine will count.
God damn it. You had me fucking laughing so hard yesterday with your fucking stance on the whole thing. I was fucking
Even though I rewatched the Boneyard match today, and I did notice that my biggest argument was flawed because there was no bell after the Boneyard match. They just played his music.
Yes.
So there was no official announcement. I don't think that the Undertaker won the match.
All right. So here, you brought something back in my head. I got to mention it. The ending of the Edge and Randy Orton match when the referee calls for the bell.
When he says he has a family, but doesn't realize that Randy Orton has a family.
No. The referee rang the bell. And the referee called for the bell, and the bell rang as if it was in the room with them. Like,
yeah. But and I'm glad you brought that up too, because when they told Randy Orton not to hit. When the referee told Randy Orton not to do the concerto on top of the trailer, whatever they were on, he's like, he's got a family. And then when Edge did it, the referee was just like, all right.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, Randy Orton doesn't have kids, even though he does, and a wife. It's all right.
Stupid referee. Yeah, when they make the referees try to be dramatic like that, it's fucking stupidity. It really is.
But I just again, nitpicking, I love the match. There was just something at the end. I was like, wait a second. Randy Orton has a family too.
I wasn't as entertained as I was with the Boneyard match, but I really fucking popped hard for that. I really enjoyed the shit out of that.
The Firefly Funhouse.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And finally, we get to the reason everybody showed up. Brock Lesnar defends the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre. Just pretty much cut and paste with F5s and Claymores from the match the night before. Drew McIntyre finishes him off with like 17 Claymores in 4.5 minutes. I enjoyed this one, too. I kind of wish that Drew would have got his moment in front of 80,000 people, but it is what it is. And I'm okay with it. I just hope Brock Lesnar goes away for just a little while. You know,
everyone's going away for a little while.
Well, it kind of seems that way. From what I understand...
Are you watching Raw right now? Do you have Raw on?
No, I don't. Are you kidding me? I have to fucking pay attention to all this shit. There was no way I'd pay attention to you if I had Raw on. It's in the DVR, so if something interesting happens, I could always pop it up later. I know AEW's got stuff taped through May. I know MLW's got this Mexico stuff, so they have a few weeks worth of tapings left. I don't know. Shit, what was I gonna say? It was MLW, it was AEW,
Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan.
I don't know how much more Ring of Honor has in the can. I don't know what Impact has in the can. I'm just trying to think of what else there is. Oh, NWA has been doing some interesting extra stuff. Today they had Eli Drake doing commentary over the first episode of Power, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
Do yourselves a favor, folks. If you ever get a chance to just listen to Eli Drake talk, tune in. The guy's a fucking genius.
Dummies.
Knows his stuff. Highly entertaining. He's another guy. We got to get him on the show, dude.
I'd love to. FCW documentary where he's in there?
Which
one? And how good of a promo he was?
Which documentary?
The FCW. The
no, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. That's
you gotta watch it. Actually, you gotta watch that, and then you gotta watch the Drew McIntyre one. But you gotta watch the Edge one.
Did you see they've been playing up? There's like 5 Scots that are champions right now for WWE,
the ICW or the I. Yeah, it's.
I think it was from ICW. Yeah, it was.
ICW. Yeah, it's Drew McIntyre. It's the NWA UK champ, not the NWA, the UK champs.
Well, Kaylee Ray and the tag champs, and then Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
So there
and
you
Drew
go.
McIntyre.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
Is he a hot Scot?
I feel like it's weird though, because I feel like didn't they have a fall? I don't know. I don't even want to say it. I thought they had like maybe they had a falling out with them or something like that, or people weren't allowed to work there or something like that, and I don't know. It was weird.
I don't know. Didn't that lead to the whole David Starr shit too, or was that a different thing?
Don't know.
It's all fucking weirds. You'd be figuring that these fucking people would all be getting along, and a lot of people were worried that when the WWE machine started coming over to the UK that this might happen, and well. Look who won the pony.
Maybe ICW is one of the ones that actually has a good relationship with them. I don't know.
It's possible. It's possible. But I ask you this. When was the last time we saw Evolve on the WWE Network? Think about that.
What does that mean?
Well, remember there was a while where they kept putting these Evolve shows on the network? And then that just sort of disappeared again.
They did it once or twice, I think.
Yeah. Why didn't they do it anymore? It'd be cool as shit for them to do that some more.
I mean, they can't do it with every show, can they?
Why not? They're WWE. You mean to tell me if Gabe Sapolsky calls him up and says, hey, listen, I can't get on the iPay-per-view. You think you could throw us on the network? They would tell him no? Come on.
I think there was you know why they did it the first time? Because it was going up against AEW. Remember that?
Yes. I do remember that, actually.
It was before it. It was like a 6-8 show, I think. And then AEW came on after, but that's...
No, I think it was.
I'm not saying that's why they did it, but there were other reasons too why they did it.
I think you were right though. I think that was heads up against one of the pay per views.
It wasn't heads up. It was the same day. But it was from like 6-8 was Evolve, and then 8-whatever was AEW. But I think there was other reasons, and I just can't remember off the top. Matt probably knows.
Hey, what,
off the top of my head, why they decided to run that.
What would you give WrestleMania overall this year?
Oh, man. This could be tough. It's not the standard rating. It's not what we would normally do. But I would still give it...
A lot of the booking results surprised me. That's one big negative that I have.
I don't have a problem with the actual results.
Now, there were quite a few matches, and it's not because I picked the other way. It was just they're just head scratchers. They really were.
Like which ones?
Well, like Shayna Baszler. You know, it was a big
lost.
Yeah, it was a big head scratcher for me, but they did the same shit with Asuka a few years ago, you know? They line them up, they give them these big wins, and then they just fucking get rid of them. You know?
Yeah, but I think this one made sense. Because Becky Lynch had a year-long run. It's going to lead up to her and Ronda, I guess, again, at some point.
I mean, that was the argument a lot of people were making, but I should have realized as soon as Becky Lynch showed up with this fucking truck with her face airbrushed on it that she wasn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
That was shame on me, but still.
I think that Shayna just didn't make as big of an impact as, like, Ronda did or as somebody else that came, like Charlotte did, that when people came up from NXT – it just didn't make that big of an impact, and that's not her fault. It's just the way that it was. So overall, I would say WrestleMania was a 7.5.
Okay, so you're going like C+.
It's more of like a B.
Yeah, I was thinking B myself. There was a lot more that I really enjoyed. That a lot of people might say, like, that wasn't that good. But there was a lot more that I enjoyed than I not enjoyed. And I think that puts the card over the top for me. So
yeah, and there's a lot more that I enjoyed that I did not expect to enjoy. Like, even if you go to, like, I mean, Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn was fun. Like, even if you want to go to the pre-show match, like, I really enjoyed the Natty Liv Morgan match. So
because you're a Natty, Mark. I get it.
I'm not an ad. Where did that come from? I'm a heart person, but I'm not necessarily a natty person.
Well, there you go. By the way, Bruce Pritchard was the one involved with the Firefly Funhouse. And it turns out that, that Bruce Pritchard and Bray Wyatt were booking most of it, but John Cena had some input. And a lot of times they said John Cena's points were like valid ones, so they changed it up a bit. Which, you know, you can't complain. Three heads like that, Bray Wyatt, John Cena, Bruce Pritchard working together, also a good job. So,
for sure.
There's that. And, that was the other thing that I had read. Fuck, did I lose it? Apparently SmackDown's going to be live this Friday. That's the rumor going around. So,
isn't Raw live too?
I'm not sure. Is it live?
Pretty sure it is. I think everything was just taped for Mania.
Oh, because I think there were still arguments going on about what the state of Florida was going to do, if they were going to lock down more restrictions or whatnot. So that might be a decision that happens during the week. So who knows? Who the fuck knows? I'll see what's going on with Raw tonight after we're done with this.
As soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to go watch it.
Well, there you go. Don't forget, folks, we are Matt's probably doing some AEW stuff this week. Those guys are fucking awesome. Kate the Great and the AOP. They've been crushing it with Matt. Everybody's been enjoying that show. They actually do a great job. There's a lot of chemistry there. Of course, Kevin and I have been bringing you the two-man army the past couple of weeks. We love providing you guys with some good stuff. And I'm gonna try to knock out a watch-along this week. Might actually watch something from WrestleMania 36. So keep your eyes out for that if you want to get on that bandwagon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And what did I say that was funny? What did I do?
I love what I'm saying. Like, I may try to watch something from WrestleMania 36, and we just had an hour and a half discussion about it. I may watch it.
Well, I mean, it depends on what I'm in the mood for, too. Like, I may not be in the mood to watch WrestleMania 36 again this week. You know what I'm saying? Like, well,
I'm not going to watch WrestleMania. It's not like the Royal Rumble. I'm not going to watch it again, like, the next day.
No, but I might find something else that, like, creeps into my psyche that, like, oh, maybe I'll watch that one, you know? Maybe that'll be a better idea. Because, you know, I like watching a little bit more off-the-wall shit to give people a little bit of flavor for something different, you know?
How about you watch some 205 Live, brother?
You know what? Maybe I'll do that too. I'll mark like 50 minutes to watch an episode of 205 Live. Maybe I'll do that.
Tony Lorcan, some Tony Nese, some Zach Gallagher. Yeah, Zach Gallagher.
Yeah, Zach Gallagher. Oh boy. Oof. All right, Kev. I got nothing else. Unless you got some news and notes, I'm ready to wrap this fucker up.
I think we did it justice tonight, my friend. And we always if something breaks in the week, I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to bring it up.
Yeah, maybe we could do a little this and that again like we did 2 weeks ago before Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We'll figure something out.
Maybe do like a little 30-minute spot show with some Zoom. But that's your guys' call. It's not my call.
No, so. Of course it's your call. You're one of us.
Zoom I am Zaza, not. Whatever it goes. I am Omaha Steaks.
Oh, what do you got there?
Oh, I got it all, baby.
Is that just an envelope or did you get a shipment?
Oh, no, we have it locked up. We got burgers, we got chops, we got steaks, we got everything.
I love me some Omaha Steaks. Love.
But I saw my JR's barbecue, so I might throw that on there too.
Nice. That I'm telling you, folks, don't sleep on that JR's barbecue. That's some good shit. I gotta try like the mustard and all the other stuff he's got too.
I'm a big mustard guy.
I heard he drops a load into every batch of fucking barbecues.
That's a slobber knocker.
Bubba Baga. Lord, get me some blue chew. Throw some sauce in there. Goddamn. All right, dude.
All right.
Thanks for joining us on the rant. We will see you guys, I guess, whenever. Stay safe and don't fucking cough on each other.
Yeah, be safe, everyone. Stay home.
Later.
Bye. Don't.